The Last Play of the Season, a YA sports novel, written by Lewis B. Aldermore, narrated by Dana Whitfield. Thank you for listening. The book begins now. Prologue. The ball is a cold stone in my hands. Cold as the November air, cold as the aluminum bleachers sweating frost, cold as the look my father shot me before the snap. Hut, hut, h kite. My palms know the laces. The seams are ridges I have memorized since I was 8 years old. Standing in the backyard while Dad stood over me with that jaw of his, clenched like a fist. Again, Caleb, your fingers are wrong. Again, my fingers are right tonight. I drop back 3 steps. The pocket holds. Jordan runs a slant over the middle, his braids whipping behind him like a war banner, and for half a second, for half a beautiful, stupid second, I think I will throw it to him. Easy money. First down. Clock ticks. We spike. We kick the field goal. We tie. That is what Dad would call. But Dad is not on the field. The defensive end sheds my left tackle. I feel the pressure before I see it. A shadow closing. A breath of turf in vengeance. Xavier King is coming off the edge. I saw him in film study. I saw him break a quarterback's collarbone in week 3. I saw him smile about it in the postgame interview, that gold grill flashing like a dare. I pump. King bites. He leaves his feet and I step up into the space he just abandoned. The pocket collapsing behind me like a house of cards. And now it is just me and the goal line and the clock reading 0-4. I run. My cleats dig into the Hawkridge turf. The same turf where Dad ran the same plays 30 years ago before his knee blew out on a rollout just like this one. The same turf where he pinned his dreams on me like a medal. Like a chain, like something I never asked to carry. The safety breaks hard. I see his eyes go wide. He did not expect the quarterback to keep it. Nobody did. Not the defense, not the crowd, not my father on the sideline with his clipboard and his clenched jaw, and the years of expectation carved into his face like a dry riverbed. I lower my shoulder. Contact. It is not clean. Nothing in my life has ever been clean. The safety catches me at the hip, and I spin sideways, my arm reaching out like I can pull the goal line toward me. My knees hit. I am going down. The ball is in my right hand, and the ground is coming up, and the goal line is 3 feet away. 3 lousy feet, and I can see it like a horizon I will never cross. But I do not stop reaching. That is the thing about being a Hartman. You do not stop reaching. You do not stop grinding. You do not stop until the whistle blows, or your body gives out, or both. And even then, you get up and you ask for the next play. My wrist hits the ground. The ball crosses the plane. Touchdown. The stadium erupts. I hear it like a wave crashing, like a dam breaking, like something I have heard in my dreams 1,000 times, but never like this. Never real. Never mine. I lie on my back in the end zone. The sky is black and endless and full of stars. I never notice except on nights like this, when I have done something I will remember, until I am old and gray and my own son asks me what it felt like. It feels like nothing. It feels like everything. I push myself up. Jordan is on me first, his arms around my shoulders, his voice a hoarse scream in my ear. You did it, you crazy son of a bitch, you did it. I saw the lane, I say. My voice sounds like someone else's. I saw it, and I took it. You took it. You took the whole damn game. Jordan pulls back, his grin so wide I can see every tooth. That was the gutsiest thing I have ever seen you do. It was stupid. It was championship. Mateo is standing 10 yards away. His helmet is off, and his face is a mask I cannot read. His hands are still. No football spinning between his fingers. No restless motion. For a second, I remember the day we were 9 years old, and he fell out of the oak tree behind my house. I caught him. He did not catch me. That scar on his chin. I put it there, trying to break his fall. He never thanks me. He never forgot, either. He walks toward me. The crowd is still screaming, but the space between us goes quiet. That was your call, he says. Not a question. It was. You did not check with the sideline. There was no time. Mateo nods. His jaw is tight. You could have thrown it to Jordan. That was open. King was coming. You could have thrown it away. And settle for overtime? Against their defense? I shake my head. No. I had to take it. He looks at me for a long moment. Then he turns and walks toward the sideline, his cleats leaving marks in the turf I just conquered. Jordan watches him go. He will get over it. Will he? Eventually. Jordan claps my shoulder. Or he will transfer. Either way, we are state